What's up, everybody? Topher here with the Glitch Podcast with my co-host
Eugene Kappen.
And we are here with a couple of dudes we just met on Comedy Central, Chris Cotton and
Jordan Mendoza. Hello.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're good. Yeah, we literally just bumped into each other physically. His crotch touched mine, and he was like, let's go for it.
I like where this is going already.
Okay. This is great. This is a great start to a podcast.
Yep. We all touched crotches, and we're like, yeah, let's do a podcast.
This feels right.
Yep.
Yeah. We're actually all in a broom closet
together.
My mic
stand is standing straight up.
So
even though I'm sitting down,
we accidentally docked each other, and then we said, let's do this together.
Wow, this is going to be an R-rated podcast, guys.
Skin everywhere.
Well, the key is, I didn't actually use any dirty words.
What is the rating of your podcast? PG-13?
It is supposed to be PG-13, but we do sometimes do a not safe for work disclaimer when we have adult stars on. Or guys from Comedy Central.
Yes, we are from Comedy Central. We're with the show every damn day, which is a talk show on Comedy Central. You can find it on Facebook and YouTube, where we just talk about what's on the internet.
So you guys just watch YouTube videos and then comment about them.
That's kind of it, yeah. It's really easy.
A lot of news, a lot of just pop culture-y stuff.
It's a good format. I mean, you got a constant influx of content to talk about and talk shit about, so...
It's like pretty simple. It's kind of crazy that we got paid for it.
Yeah, I'm not arguing.
We say the same thing about our show.
I feel like that's what every YouTuber says about their show. Like, it's crazy I can make money doing this. This is insane.
Yeah. I mean, if your show's complicated, though, then it's probably not a good show, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but every person failing is like, how do I get there? But when you have whatever, like, you don't deserve it.
You have to fail so much that eventually you succeed. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
I think,
Chris, what did you just say?
You have to fail a lot. Just keep failing, and then one day you just succeed.
Oh, my God. Holy shit.
I mean, I don't even know, but that's how it works, baby.
Are we allowed to swear? Sorry.
Yeah, no, you're good.
You are today.
That's like the ethos of stand-up comedy is you just get on stage continually, eat your dick, and then eventually you'll just be really, really good because you've gone through all the abuse.
So for this episode, we are waiving our one curse word per episode.
Yeah, we usually have one.
Sorry to our sponsor, Another Reality.
#another reality. There we go. Man, we are not in sync on this podcast.
Oh, that happens, man. Listen, man, this is every damn day. That's the name of our show, so we have to swear to say the name of our show.
Damn, Chris, you said this is every damn day.
Swear word?
Somebody say
you can say beaver dam.
Do you say damn in front of your parents?
Yeah.
I'm angry.
I'm 32 now, so yes.
I still don't like cursing in front of my dad.
Really?
I don't like it. I do it, but I don't like it.
I feel more comfortable cursing in front of my mom than my dad. My mom has quite
a child where he like hit you in the mouth or something for cursing, and you're just like, I can't do it.
No, my dad doesn't curse, so it's weird.
Oh, okay.
So, but at the same token, I've cussed in story, all the time. Like, if my dad see me on stage cursing up a storm, I just don't feel comfortable cursing in front of my dad still. It's weird.
But does he care? Does he, like...
No. All his friends curse. A lot.
But, so, he has a ton of friends that curse, but he doesn't curse.
Yeah, he just doesn't curse.
So he's, like, the good influence of the group, kind of.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. All right.
He's a good man.
Is it sexist that there's a word motherfucker, but there's not a word daddy fucker?
I feel like you would take someone completely off guard, be like, man, you daddy fucker, I'm going to fuck you up. And they're like, what, you just call me? You just call me a daddy fucker?
Yeah. They can't even be mad. They're just confused.
Yeah, they're just confused. They just walk away, like, really puzzled.
Like, I don't think I've ever called a woman a motherfucker, but I've definitely called men motherfuckers.
Yes.
So I feel like if you called a guy daddy fucker, you would probably go on that line of, like, that's now homophobic.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Oh, yeah. Or maybe it's heteronormative to only call men motherfucker. We should be calling more women motherfuckers. Hello. Hi, Kelsey.
This is 2018, guys. We got to be all-inclusive with our profanity.
Yes.
So I agree with you. I feel as though people can be daddy fucking, motherfucker. Jake can fuck themselves. You know what I mean?
Babysitter fucking?
Yeah.
Maybe fuck their... Yeah,
that's
babysitter.
Probably one of my favorites.
It's actually crazy how much I like that on Pornhub.
What?
It's like babysitter stuff.
I can't do Pornhub anymore. There's just too much quote unquote fake incest porn. Yeah,
I love it.
And then I'm just like, I feel bad for seeing this dad and his stepdaughter.
No, I think it's so, it's my favorite. Me and my girlfriend watch it sometimes because it's just so funny. They're clearly not related, and they're so such bad actors, so it's like you laugh and you get off. It's kind of like perfect.
I feel like the acting in porn as a whole has stepped itself up from the last couple decades.
It's better, yeah.
I feel like I've graduated from traditional bad pornography to like hentai. So, like, hentaihaven.org is where I go now.
Oh.
because the production value is so much higher than traditional porn because you had to have, you know, 8 guys sit in a room for a month to make, you know, 5 minutes of animation.
So you're praising the art of it while beating it.
Absolutely. Okay. I feel like that's a really good compliment.
I mean,
if your drawings are good enough to spend your quality alone time on.
It's why Jesse Jane's Pirates was so popular, is because it was like the highest production value porn film of the time.
I've never heard of that.
Didn't they get in trouble for renting one of the ships from Pirates of the Caribbean to film that on?
Wait, Chris, have you heard of this? Jesse James is what?
Jesse Jane's Pirates, man. Pirates 1, 2, and 3.
I feel the exact opposite of everything y'all was saying. I like the lowest possible production quality on my porn. If it could be filmed on a cell phone and not even I don't want you to go past an iPhone 5. I want at least an iPhone 4. And if it's not grainy, I can't jerk off to it. It's just how I live, man.
So Paris Hilton did you a favor.
Oh. That was I'm more so like the Tommy Lee Jones. Now, that's a bad quality video.
So you want VHS stretch marks in the film.
If I can, sometimes I just want to do that thing where the screen jumps and you don't know exactly what you're looking at. Then it comes back in frame like, yeah, oh, yeah, let me finish
jerking
it.
For like 2 seconds. And
that's how I felt about the Playboy Channel when I was like 15. Yeah. It's all staticky.
It's something about that just feels like home when you see a bad quality video. It feels like you're jerking off. You're not supposed to be watching this. It gives you a voyeur feel. Like, I'm more voyeuristic. So it gives you a voyeur feel. Like, I shouldn't be watching this. Somebody recorded this without somebody's permission. You know what I mean? And it's like, that makes it better.
Yeah, I want to watch the Tangerine of porn. Do you guys know that movie, Tangerine? It was Tangerine was shot on an iPhone. That's like kind of, it's like an indie movie that's like very good. Very good. Shot on an iPhone.
What? You like too much quality. I still want it to be awful. I want somebody to say, do you have a flip phone? And then start fucking. You know what I mean?
So I have you ever experienced VR porn yet?
I've used it on like an iPhone with like Google Cardboard, and it was like so uncomfortable and like bad.
You didn't dig it?
No, I don't think it was like.
Was it too grainy for you?
The quality wasn't good. It didn't feel like real, and also the cardboard was like cutting into my face. So it was like, this is embarrassing. Like, why am I naked in my room doing this?
I'm always worried about what I'm gonna look like if my wife comes down because I'll have a vibe on my head. Sitting in my chair, naked, just sitting there, like looking around, like, oh yeah, this is really cool. And then you never know who's gonna come in. Then she's gonna whip out her phone, and start filming me, and then show me like 3 weeks later, like, look what I caught you doing. I'm like, oh god, it's like,
not to mention the peanut butter that's spread everywhere.
I know. I mean, it's really messy. It's a really messy ordeal.
You own a dog, right, Topher?
I do own a dog.
I didn't even know that.
Snakes too.
What kind of doggy?
Pitbull.
Pitbull.
Oh yeah, they don't play around with pickle
dog.
But no, we actually had the first VR porn star on our live show.
Oh my god. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, her name's Ella Darling. She's really, really cool. She's actually the head of Cam VR. So like doing 360 porn but letting cam girls do that from their home.
Oh wow.
That's a lot of confidence. I wanna applaud her. Because one thing you got to realize in porn is it's made to be 2D. Because a lot of angles aren't flattering. You know what I mean? But for you to have the confidence to realize, like, I don't care that this angle isn't going to be that flattering. You need to see the whole thing. And I applaud her because, honestly, I don't want anybody ever seeing anything I've done naked. It's not fun.
You've never made a home video?
No, I have no intention on it. Just because I think I don't want it to be found. And then if you make a home video, you have to tell a friend or all your friends where that video is always located in case they have to dispose of it.
Just in your will, have like a last commands for the best friend. Like, give this to Jerry, and he's going to fulfill my last request.
Oh, yeah.
Delete my search history, throw my laptop in the river. get rid of all the peanut butter, and make Kill sure that cell phone is demolished with a sledgehammer, because I do not want this getting out into the world.
Yes. Yes, it's too much to get rid of. Right now, I mean, I've cut down my life to a point where I don't have to get rid of too much. That's, I think, that was my goal in life, to be like, Chris, when I die, I don't want to have to leave too much extra shit in my will. That was my life goal. And I think right now I'm down to like only like one short line of things that have to be disposed of.
I was like trying to get rid of a lot of things recently because I watched these minimalism documentaries and I was like really getting into it. And then my room was empty. I didn't have a bed because I was like, I'm going to sleep on a yoga mat now. And I realized, I was like, I feel like I'm preparing to die. Like, I'm getting rid of my things so I don't have to be a burden to people.
Isn't that preparing to live?
Isn't that one of the telltale signs of someone who's planning on committing suicide? Where they just, like, get rid of all their stuff? It's like, I'm not suicidal, guys. I'm just downgrading my life.
God. I'm just really into my Netflix subscription. I'm really into these documentaries. And I've just taken it way too far, and
Yeah, that was a really weird moment. That was just, like, a few months ago.
So did you, like, do the, like, every day I'm going to get rid of something for, like, on the first day of the month I'll get rid of one thing, and then the second thing, but then you just times everything by three all the way through the month, and you just ran out of shit?
Yeah, I got rid of things pretty quickly. I did the Marie Kondo thing where you hold something in your hands, and if you don't feel joy from the item, then you throw it away. And so that's what I did, but I realized, like, I don't derive joy from most items, and some items are not joyful. They're just useful. And I just got rid of so much, like, camera equipment. I got rid of so much, like, shit that, like, I actually need. And now I'm just, I have to buy
really
it back
fucked
again.
You yourself, didn't you?
I really did.
You didn't think this through, bro. Yeah, I mean.
Did you at least sell your shit? You didn't just actually throw it away?
I gave it away.
I gave it away
to people. Yeah.
That's a very Buddhist of you.
I was trying to be like Buddhist, but it's stupid. Don't be Buddhist. That's the lesson we're taking away.
The biggest takeaway is don't be Buddhist. Yeah, that's funny. That is hilarious, man.
So how did you guys get into making digital content?
Well, I started doing comedy like 5 years ago, and then I started a sketch group, and we were like, oh, should we do stage stuff? And I was like, no, there's no point to that. No one's going to watch
like,
it.
UBC or?
I was doing UBC. I was doing UCB out of New York, and then I met some people through there, and we started a sketch group. And then a few years later, we got this job through Comedy Central, through just some big application process. Yeah.
That's pretty much how we got this job. Like you said, I was angry one night because I'm like a full-time comic. Didn't have any money. Looked at my resume, realized that's horseshit. My real resume. Then I looked at my comedy resume. It was like, that's still loaded up to the gills with stuff. So I said, let me fill out something comedy-oriented and found an application for this job. Filled it out. Next thing you know, I'm here. Doing this. Literally, it was out of anger. If without me being angry and poor in my house, contemplating trying to find a job, I wouldn't be here.
I tried to be a comic. I did a West Coast comedy tour in college between my junior and senior year, and it sucked.
Oh, my God. You did a tour?
You don't come out the gate
completely unknown.
Oh, yeah, my God. Yeah.
So,
so
I saved up $800, grabbed...
Whoa. Where did you find $800?
I did, like, yard work for my neighbors, raised $800, jumped into my Ford Focus.
Oh, yeah, you're already on the wrong trail.
And just went to every coffee shop, stand-up bar, open mic I possibly could, all the way down to California and back.
I wish I would have bumped into you and told you stop.
You know what? It prepped me for like joining a comedy group when I got to back to college.
Oh, no. Was it a sketch or improv?
It was an improv sketch group,
okay,
which
both.
I then got kicked out of.
What happened?
It was Generation Friends at the Evergreen State College.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You
cool kid school.
There's a lot going on in this story that let me know what the ending was already going to be. But you can go, you can finish telling
it. They're very overly PC. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw them on the school on the news, but
no. What they do?
So basically, there is a day of observation at the college where if you are a black student, you take the day off and you don't go to class. And one year they decided, hey, we think all the white students shouldn't go to the college, shouldn't go to school.
Oh,
and all these
no.
white students were like, I paid to be here. I kind of want to go to class.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a riot.
That caused a race riot?
A
tried to let kids off of school, and that caused a race riot.
Yeah. So a Jewish teacher was like, I don't think it's fair to ask anybody not to come to go get an education. And that became like a huge backlash. He had to quit. He sued the college. He was on Joe Rogan.
I have a question.
Sure.
So at first it was, don't let the black kids come
no,
to
no,
class.
No. Black students made it a point not to come on one single day as a point of like, hey, let's take a day of observation to know what it is to be a student of color at this school.
Okay.
It's the most liberal college in North America.
I hear that now. And then the white kids was like, let us do a day too.
No. The white kids were like, we don't want to take a day off school. Because the black kids were like, well, why do we have to take a day off? Why don't we just make all the white kids not go to class instead?
Oh, so they tried to revert.
Yeah,
they tried to suplex the situation.
Yeah. They were trying to be all nice and like thoughtful, and it completely fucking backfired.
So like videos came out of like just students yelling at the faculty, like cornering them and yelling at them until they started crying and shit.
Oh.
And so like the government took away like a third of how much they get for funding for the school, and they had to cut down like a lot of the different departments.
Jesus Christ.
That's really messed up. When did this happen? This was recent?
Yeah, this was about 2 years ago.
Oh my God.
Dude, I graduated 4 years ago.
That is awful, man. Like, I'm gonna be honest with you, man. I feel like the black students, I'm black, just so y'all know, just in case y'all wondering. So I don't want nobody in there to be like, that guy's a racist. It is what it is. The black kids shouldn't have forced the white kids not to go to class, and that was wrong of them. Like, if I was there, I'm like, come on, y'all. Like, y'all can't, that's some force. You can't force people not to learn. If you want to stay out, I get it. That's a decision we're all making collaboratively to make a statement. But you can't force somebody to make a statement for you. That's not how. But that's like saying, look, man, we're not going to. Like, during the bus boycott, they didn't say, okay, all white people off the bus. We just didn't get on the bus. I mean, I get what they're trying to do. It's like, well, we shouldn't suffer. We should make them. But that's kind of. We can't. I mean, you don't turn mean on history. You nice it up.
I agree with Chris.
Love changes shit. You know.
I'm not allowed to really speak on this. I don't think.
Well, no. You're Filipino. You can say what you want.
I can say what I want.
Yeah, you get the POC.
You know something? Now I'm scared now because he said
I got
that
really
too fast.
Excited.
I can say what I want. No.
I only get it in certain situations.
What do you mix with?
Jewish, Spanish, Native American.
You're literally a lot of minorities.
I'm a mutt.
Yeah.
Just like all my Irish showed up, so I have like red hair.
You're a minority mutt, and you don't get any of the credits that you deserve.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up on an Indian reservation.
For real?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
No, but I don't look
mind
it.
Mind blown.
So where I grew up, there were not any like white people.
Mm-hmm.
So. Growing up, I had like this reverse outlook where when I got to like junior high school, where I was no longer going to Native American schools, I was like, oh, white privilege is a thing? What? Where's this been all my life?
And then you did it? So you said I ain't got to sign nothing and they didn't let me do shit. Oh, this is great. This is nice.
And you didn't get to experience any of that on the reservation. You were just like.
Like we went out there when I was like super young, like that. Observation wasn't like made apparent to me, so and I went to like Native American schools where like all these kids had like fetal alcohol syndrome and like a bunch of issues, and I went to school before they had a casino, so it was like really bad out there.
I never thought I would feel bad for a white person for who didn't get to use their privilege, but this is like kind of a pleasure to meet you.
It's made my day.
So I get to go be an advocate for, like, minorities as a white person, and it's super weird. Like, I can definitely say white privilege is a thing, and until the day I die, I can be like, no, I've been on both sides of the card, and, you know, it totally exists. So, you know, fuck anybody who thinks it doesn't.
This episode got, it started off with a lot of really funny dick jokes.
Really? Yes.
I'm not going to listen. We're not going to lie here. They were good dick jokes. But this is what I like. This is what I like about comedy. I always start off, most of my life is me starting off with a dick joke and then ending with everybody being like, you know something? That's a good point. That is a good point. You know? And that's what stand up is. If you were on the road, I would have cussed you like, get the fuck off the road, sit down somewhere and write a nice, deep level dick joke. That's what I would do.
That's true.
Deep, like level, a full 9 inches.
Oh yeah, you want to touch the water with that dick joke. That's what you want to do. You want to touch the water, make sure it gets nice and splashy.
Get a witch's kiss with that dick joke.
That's funny.
Well, on that dick note joke, I think we are out of time, guys. Where can we find you on the interwebs if people want to follow you guys?
You can follow me at Jordy Pizza, Jordy Pizza.
Or you can follow me, Chris Cotton, at Cotton215, Cotton215. 215. And listen, my last name is Cotton, just so y'all know. That's my real life.
I see Eugene laughing.
I know. That's my real life. I was born into the Cotton family, and that's our actual last name. I am dark and a very dark-skinned individual, and it works out.
Oh, I'm glad we're finishing this up as a group of children just walking.
Oh, this is perfect time.
Well, this is the perfect time to probably...
And where can they find the show, guys?
On Every Damn Day on Facebook or YouTube. So just type in Every Damn Day. It'll be the first thing on Comedy Central.
Right
cool.
on.
That's it.
Cool. So we also want to thank our sponsors of our podcast here at VidCon.
Yeah, and our sponsors are Another Reality.
#ToAnotherReality.
AR Wall, Monster VR, Reality Smash, and Glamour Con.
Thanks, guys. Thank you guys for being on. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having
it. And
stay glitch.
Stay glitch, guys. See you later.